I turn with us to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 8. Amen. Begin reading with verse 16 down through verse 19 tonight. And the Lord said unto Moses, it's always good to do what the Lord said do. Say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. But Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Hallelujah. Hello. Amen. But they could not. So there were lice upon men, or man, and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Amen. Well, I'm feeling better already tonight. I ain't even started. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The Lord help us tonight for a while. We want to talk to you about the finger of God. Amen. Now, before I get through, I'll probably talk to you about several things. But I want you to know before we start tonight that I am not a Calvinist, nor a Calvinist follower. Hello. Amen. But I do believe that God directs our lives many times when we are unaware of it.
All right. We accept that.
Amen. And I think that too, we many times have a choice to whether or not we will follow His direction or not. Amen. God has given us that choice. But I do want to talk tonight for a little while on how God directs our lives. Many times behind the stage and behind the scene where we don't even see God moving, He's moving. He's preparing you for later in life. And He's working some things in your life now that you don't understand and you don't know and you'll question. Amen. But 20 years from now, you'll look back and say, I can see where God was moving here and I can see where God was moving there. And perhaps that the Lord help us tonight, we'll talk about that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If we were to back up, and I just want to get an introduction over with here and get started. We could back up here to chapter 7. Where this contest began between Moses and his helpmate there, Aaron, or his mouthpiece, and the magicians and Pharaoh, we would be amazed to see how that things transpired and worked.
Amen. And I just might give you some things here to start with, food for thought. Amen. You can do with it what you want to. Put it in file 13 if you want to.
Amen. But some folks do anyhow. But when chapter 7 opens, we have Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, and Moses has thrown his rod down, and it became a serpent. And the magicians, amen, the magicians, they weren't godly men. They were not God-inspired men. They were not even God-conscious men. They were of the satanic origin. They threw their rods down and theirs too became serpents. Hallelujah. It did. Amen. And praise God. Brother Moses said, hold it. Said, the show's not over yet. All right. Amen. Just leave him alone a while. Let's see what happens. I said something to Brother, amen, Wyatt on the way to church tonight. I said, we deal with here and now. We can only see what happens today or this week. But God deals with us in the light of eternity. God deals with us in a long-range program. The natural carnal can only see the here and now and today and this week. God prepares for us in the long run. Amen. And Moses said, leave him alone. And before it was over, Moses is... Amen. Had crawled around and swallowed or consumed up all the others. Amen. And then Moses picked his up by the tail and it became a rod again. And the magicians had none. Glory to God. Ain't I glad of that? Amen. I want to tell you, I learned something from that. And I think that if we'll bear with this thought and follow it through, we'll see that it's scriptural and it's right. Sometimes the those who are not of the holiness, folks. Amen. The false sometimes are able to do what we say are miraculous things. But the show's not over yet. Amen. And I feel this in my heart. Before this thing is wound up and before it is over, there will become a deepened hunger within the hearts of the people of God that are sanctified for a moving, a mighty moving of the supernatural power of God until the genuine will consume the false. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that contest being over, amen, Moses and Aaron, by the command of God, stretched out their rod across the rivers of Egypt, and they became blood. Amen. I don't know where the magicians got their other rods from, but they went and got some more rods. Amen. And they stretched out their rods, and they caused rivers to turn to blood. Amen. The next contest was bringing up frogs. Amen. And Moses and Aaron stretched out their rod, and sure enough, the land of Egypt was full of frogs. Amen. And the magician said, that's nothing. We can do that. They stretched out theirs, and they too brought up frogs. Amen. But then we come to where Moses, by the command of God, told Aaron to stretch out his rod across the dust, amen, of the land of Egypt, and lice came upon man and beast. Amen. Magicians lifted up their rod and smote the dust. Nothing happened. They were out of stuff. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, amen, God in this day, in this hour, amen, will come to the rescue of his people that will serve him not for loaves and fishes, amen, but because they love him out of their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Now, Pharaoh, being the king of Egypt, sat down in his marble throne room down at Memphis, south of Cairo. Amen. And plague after plague had come upon Egypt. And here we have probably one of the worst plagues of all of them. Amen. And there were a few times that Pharaoh's heart was softened, and he said, I'll let them go. And as soon as the plague was lifted, his mind was changed and his heart was hardened as ever. And he said, no, you can't go. Right. Amen. And here again, the magicians themselves come to grips. Amen. And they come to grips with a truth. They finally recognize that they could do no more. They were out of stuff. They didn't have anything left. Amen. They had come to the end of their doings. And finally they had to make a recognition and a proclamation to the king, Pharaoh, and said, this is the finger of God. Yeah. I'm feeling better. Amen. I think that we all can recognize the hand of God. That it's a mighty hand. God's hand is a mighty hand. When I was a boy in school, we used to have come through our country some dudes, I don't even remember what they called them now. Amen. But they had unusual ability. I mean, they had coordination like us kids had never seen. They had come, you know, and they had put on a show to the kids at the school, and they'd take about 4, 5, 6, 7 balls and start throwing them in there. Amen. I can't even hardly throw one up and catch it. And here this fella had 3 or 4 of them going at one time in a circle, you know. Amen. He had good concentration. Amen. And then he'd add another one. Amen. And he had 4, and he had 5, and he had 6, and he had 7, and he had 8. And they were going round and round in a circle, and he never let one of them fall to the ground. Amen. Us kids were amazed. I mean, our eyes bugged out. We thought that was something. Amen. But could I tell you tonight, the mighty hand of God has taken multiplied thousands of planets vastly bigger than this planet Earth that we lived in, or we live on, and has flung them into their orbits in space. Amen. And said, go. Hallelujah. Amen. And through the periods of history and hundreds and thousands of years, amen, not one of them has ever gotten out of their orbit. Amen. And God still keeps them going. Amen. By the power of his word. Amen. I want to tell you, God is a mighty God. Amen. One king in the Old Testament in his prayer, amen, he said, there is no God like our God. Amen. And I think that you and I ought to rehearse that in our own hearts. There is no God like our God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, there are a few other places in the Bible where the finger of God is mentioned. I'm going to take my time tonight. Now, I got something to say. Amen. The rocks on Mount Sinai are hard stone. Basalt. Right. Amen. Do you think for 1 minute that Moses and Aaron had a chisel on top of Mount Sinai? Amen. When they brought down the tables of stone, and in those tables of stone were inscribed the commandments of God to Israel. The Bible said, amen, in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, amen, that it was the finger of God that wrote in those tables of stone. Amen, it was there on the mountain where Moses communed with God. Amen, and that mighty mountain shook and vibrated from the mighty presence of the eternal God that created it. Amen. And Moses spoke with God face to face, to the extent that when he came down from Mount Sinai, they had to put a veil over his face, for his face did shine. Amen. And it was there on Mount Sinai that the Ten Commandments was given to Moses by the finger of God. I thought the other day, amen, the reason God did it with his finger, he wanted to make sure that nobody else got credit for it. Yeah. He wanted to make sure there wasn't any mistakes in it.
And he wanted to make sure, amen, that nobody couldn't add to it, alter it, or change it. Amen. And produce any counterfeits. Glory to God. God said, I wrote this with my own finger. Amen. It is the laws of God.
A few years ago, amen, I was in an attorney's office in Culpeper, Virginia, along with Brother Jim Powers, and taking care of some important business. Amen. And they had a vast library. I mean a vast library. Oh, it was full of books from ceiling to floor, all the way around the room. Amen. Behind the desk on the other side of the room, all four walls. And it was a large room. Was filled with books, law books, from top to bottom. And the attorney's name was Mrs. Jeffries. She said to us, we commented on her library, and she said, do you know? And she told us how many million laws, and it sticks in my mind at that time, it was like 10 million laws were on the law books. But she said, do you realize, amen, that none of those 10 million laws has ever improved on the Ten Commandments? That if men would just simply live by the Ten Commandments, amen, we could destroy and do away with 10 million laws that are on the law books. Hallelujah. God wrote it with his finger. God said if we'd live by it, we'd be blessed. God said this is the way. Walk ye in it and ye shall find rest for your souls. I'm feeling better. Hallelujah. Amen. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 20. Amen. That Jesus himself said that he cast out devils by the finger of God. Amen. He cast out devils by the finger of God. Amen. And I feel like tonight, though very seldom reference is made in the Bible to this particular part of God's hand, amen, if you and I will keep our eyes open and our hearts right, amen, if you look in your life very diligently, you'll be able to determine that the finger of God is moving in your life here, and the finger of God is moving in your life there, and you have committed your ways unto God. Amen. Ah, I'm feeling something right here. Amen. Oh, hey, if I could say tonight that to probably most of us, gesticulation is very natural, or the pointing of the finger. Amen. The talking with your hands. Amen. It's as natural as breathing. Amen. Why? Most of us, if you was to stick your hands in your pockets or somebody tie your hands behind you, amen, you wouldn't even be able to talk. Matter of fact, that might not be a bad idea. Amen. My wife was talking on the telephone the other day to somebody. It's been some time back now. Amen. She is talking on the telephone now to somebody that was way off. Amen. And while she is talking on the telephone, I mean, her hand was just a-going. Amen. Does she do that? Amen. And me and my mischievous streak that this savage does have occasionally. Amen. I reached out while she was talking and grabbed her hand. Amen. And she stopped her conversation. She said, let me go. I'm talking on a telephone. Amen. I said, what your hands got to do with you talking? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, brother, you see, with your hands, you put special emphasis on what you're saying. That's the reason, amen, we was talking about this last night, and I thought while we was talking about it, I said, now, he don't know it, but he's giving me something. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you listen sometime the preachers on tapes, amen, you don't get the full compliment or the full part of the message that they're preaching
because you cannot see their actions. You cannot see their expressions. You cannot see their workings. Amen. And you lose a great deal of value. Amen. Brother White last night was telling me, amen, and oh, that fit in so good tonight. Amen. He said that people receive from your voice of what you're saying and what you're preaching. They only receive 15%, amen, by the sound of your voice. The rest is communicated by your expressions and your actions of how you're throwing your arms and your expressions with your entire motion and being. And they relate to that. Amen. Ha. A good example of that is Brother Ralph Horton. Amen. Some of y'all have heard him preach. Amen. And when he gets down to a point and the glory is rolling in his soul and he feels the anointing of God that's come upon him, amen, and he'll just stand down in the middle sometime and go to swinging his arms. You don't get that on tape. Glory to God. Amen. You miss that old thing right there. Amen. Blows your mind, and for about, amen, a minute on the tape, there's a blank space, and you can't tell what in the world's going on. But if you're there, you are relating, amen, to that glory and that power and that anointing that is present upon him through his expressions. Could I tell you tonight that God in his divine providence has spoken to us in his word by his finger, and he says to us children, this is the way, walk in it, this is my word, this is my law. Hallelujah.
Slow down just a minute. There are some things that we don't have any control over, and we are not responsible for, and you don't have to seek God about. You have no control, and you're not responsible, and you don't have to seek God in regards to what country you were born in. That's in God's hands. That's his doings.
All right.
You're not responsible and do not have to seek God. Amen. As far as whether you are an American or a Norwegian or Irish,
right,
or Scotchman.
All right.
Amen. You don't have to seek direction for that. God's determined that. It's in his hands. You're not responsible for your features. Whether you're pretty or ugly. Amen. I was preaching one time a few long years ago. Amen. This sister came up at the service one night. Said, Brother Savage, she said, I sure do like your preaching. Man, she said, I enjoy it. But she said, you look like you've been beat with an ugly stick. That'll take the wind out of your sails. Amen. My oldest son was standing there, and he's just full as mischief as his daddy is. Amen. And he said, looks like to me he's been beat with a whole tree. Amen. I got the victory over that years ago. You don't have to worry or seek God about your features. Amen. I want the Lord to help me right here. I got something to say. Amen. You know, you're not responsible, and you do not have to seek God for direction as far as your stature is concerned, whether you're tall, dark, and handsome, whether you're short, squatty, and fat. Amen. Whether you're like a bean pole or whether you're like a wash tub. Well, I'll take that last one back. Amen.
Preach.
Amen.
Amen. We are not responsible for a lot of things that goes to make up us as persons and as individuals. Amen. And I'm glad that God made it that way, that there are some things that we aren't responsible for. But I'm glad God made it to where there are some things that we do have a choice in, and we are responsible to seek His face for and about. Amen. And my interest tonight is simply this. Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. That for this very moment and for this very day, amen, an American by the name of Savage, that when I'm getting a difficult passageway of life, amen, I need to look for the directing hand and the finger of God that is pointing the way. Amen. And my question is, which way, God, do I go from here? Amen. Too bad these days people seek the advice of everybody but God. And the decisions that we make most generally is a result, amen, because Uncle so-and-so said this, and Aunt Susie said that. Help me, Lord. Amen. And this one give me that advice, and the other one give me that advice, and we've made so many mistakes, and we missed our mark so many times because we have followed every finger that points except the finger of God. If we would learn to be God conscious, if we would learn to be sensitive to the Spirit and the leading of God in our life, directing us daily. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Savage, do you really believe that God is concerned with every facet of our life every day? I do believe that God directs us daily in our walk in this present world. And if we would simply be God conscious enough, amen, to seek for that divine pointed finger that says, this is the way, walk ye in it, and ye shall find rest for your soul. This is the finger of God. Sometimes, nobody sees the finger but you. Sometimes it's invisible to anybody else but you. And as you follow that directing, somebody's going to call you a fool. Somebody's going to say you're crazy. Amen. If you know what's good for you, stay out of there. Amen. What'd you do that for? I saw the finger of God. Right. And it pointed me in this direction. And I'm pursuing it. Amen. You may think me silly and a nitwit. Amen. And haven't got much sense. Amen. But I'm following a divine inspiration. I'm following an invisible finger that you can't see. Amen. Only God has given me direction to go in the way which I'm going. Amen. Glory to God. I feel right now that there's somebody here, amen, that is in a crisis in your life, and you're wondering which way to go. Could I tell you that God wants to give you divine direction by His divine word and the good Holy Ghost? Do you know what made the great revival of 1857? When more people were converted and saved and swept into the kingdom of God, more people were saved in that year probably since the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, since the days of the early church. And it was a result of a whirlwind of disaster economically until the economy, amen, fell flat and people were hurled into bankruptcy overnight. And through that torrent of disasters, amen, and that whirlwind that struck the nation, amen, people fell on their knees and sought the face of God, and revival was born. Amen, because men got desperate. I want to tell you, contrary to modern philosophy of Pentecostals, amen, prosperity has never brought a revival. That's Amen. It is when men become in a crisis of their life, in a disaster, as long as things are going well. Amen. We got bankrolls that'll choke a mule. Amen. Enough credit cards in our pocket. Amen. To buy up the whole city of Richmond. Amen. We give God so little thought. Amen. But you let disaster come and men fall on their faces. Amen. Because the economy has blowed up and there's no money to be had. And what they did have is worthless. Amen. My God, you talking about, amen, a revival. We'd have a revival that would sweep this country. But it was the finger of God that said, nation, you need to pray. Nation, your heart's got far from me. Nation, it's time to get down to business. Amen. And renew your vows to God.
Amen. I'm reminded of the life of John Fletcher of England. Probably one of the most useful ministers the gospel ever had. Before he was saved, before he was converted, amen, he joined the army and had bought his ticket on his ship to go to South America. Before he is ever saved, if you will, amen, joined the service of England. Amen, bought a ticket and was going to South America. The day for departure had come. Amen. All preparations were made and ready. And just as he was about to board ship, someone turned over a kettle of scalding hot water upon him, and he was scalded so bad before he was saved, before his conversion. He was scalded so bad he could not set sail on that vessel which was going to sail in just about an hour. And he was forced to remain for medical assistance. Oh, how disappointed he was. He felt like his career was washed up and washed out and gone. He had so looked forward to a career in the army, amen, of South America. And he thought that his whole career was shot. Amen. But brother, that ship left dock of England, amen, and started out for South America and was never heard of again. It sank in the stormy seas of a typhoon in the Atlantic, and all members aboard perished. Amen. But God, in his providence, amen, saw that he could use, amen, John Fletcher in the kingdom of God to sweep thousands into his work. Glory to God, and preserved his life. Amen. When John Fletcher didn't even know that it was God's hand that was moving in his behalf. I want to tell you tonight, God moves in our lives many times when we don't know it, and when we don't see it, and we don't recognize it. But I want to tell you, many of us tonight could probably stand and give, amen, example and incident and testimony a dozen times over how you would have been killed or slain, amen, before you ever knew anything about God. But somehow or another, by the skin of your teeth, your life was spared and you escaped. What was it, brother? It was the finger of God in your life that was motioning you in this direction. Yeah. Was it an accident? Was it an accident that Richard Rhoda, a Cornish miner, way down into the blackness of a mountain, of a coal mine digging coal, felt like he ought to pray. Amen. Way back in the interior of that mountain, amen, hundreds of yards from the outside world, he felt an urgency to pray. And he bowed his knee in the blackness of that coal mine.
and started praying to the glory world. He got engrossed in his prayer. Amen. I'm feeling something right now. And all of a sudden, there was a shift in that mountain. Amen. That whole tunnel that went from the outside world, amen, at different places along the way, crumbled and fell in. Amen. A huge stone, amen, fell on this side of Richard Rover. Another one fell on this side of him. One in front of him, another behind him, and one gigantic stone fell overhead and made a roof. Amen. Over his head. Amen. Ha. Amen. And he never knew that the mountain was rumbling till he got through praying. He was so engrossed in prayer. And the glory of God was so carried away in the spirit. Amen. You can say that was an accident if you want to. But I'll tell you, the finger of God had a hand in preserving his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You tell that to some infidel that don't believe in the mighty hand of God moving in their life and don't believe in the Bible. And they may believe it. But I've had touch with God. And I believe the word is right. And God's eternal hand directs our lives.
What about F.W. Robertson?
Great preacher of Brighton, England. Had his life work decided by the barking of a dog. Some dogs have got more sense than people. Amen. A neighbor, F.W. Robertson, had an ill daughter, very sick, very, very sick, high fever. And way in the darkness of the night, amen, some lone dog somewhere started barking and howling. And it so disturbed this neighbor that he went out of his house fearing that that barking dog would disturb his ill daughter. And he searched for the dog. The dog, the barking of that dog, we don't know who the neighbor was. We don't have a record who it was. All we know is it was a neighbor. The barking of that dog, amen, brought a communication between F.W. Robertson and this neighbor. Amen. And through that communication and through that acquaintance, it kept him from joining the dragoons. Amen. And going to far India. And spending his life in military service. Amen. But instead, the barking of that dog, amen, reserved him in England until he was able to get saved. Amen. And God called him to the ministry and shook all over Britain for God. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe in such things. Well, brother, I want to tell you, when you get ready to cross over the eternal great divide, you look back on your life. Amen. And you see, take inventory. Did God bring you the way accidentally? Amen. Was it by happenstance and chance? Or did you follow the leading of the Lord that directed your life? Amen. I'm feeling better. Why did not, amen, a fella by the name of Christopher, a young man, very young man, late teens, perhaps early 20s, a young man by the name of Christopher, amen, through a mishap, was shipwrecked 6 miles from shore in the middle of a storm. 6 miles. I don't know how far that is to swim, but it's a fur piece. 6 miles from shore. Amen. And the only thing he had to help him along was a boat oar. Amen. But his life miraculously was preserved in a storm. Amen. For 6 long miles he reached the shore. Amen. His name was Christopher Columbus. Do you think it had anything to do with America? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you, God has his hands in the affairs of men, and we don't give him credit that's due him. Amen. There'll be some young people in this congregation that if Jesus tarries, there'll be some young ladies who will consecrate their life and their heart to God and go through a difficult passage of life. And they don't understand why many things befall them and why certain situations have evolved in their life. And it seemed like that there's disasters and heartache and heartbreak. Amen. But the time she's 20, 22, 25 years old, she falls in love with some good preacher somewhere and marries him. And by the time she's 45, she can look back and say, it was the hand of God that led me through those difficult passageways. Amen. That I could be a minister's wife and do the justice by the work of God. Amen. And help somebody else through other difficult passageways of life. Amen. I want to tell you, God may want you to be a missionary. God may want you to be a pillar in the church. God may want you to be a Sunday school teacher. God may want you to be a pastor. Amen. And he's moving in your life and pointing his finger and say, this is the way I want you to go. Follow my spirit. Amen. Be led of my spirit and my word, and your life will be full. Taken out in the darkness of the night one night by a drunken father, so intoxicated with liquor he staggered to and fro. Where he went in the darkness of that night, nobody knows. With a little boy's hand in his, he walked. He went. And somehow or another, through the darkness of that night, he lost the grip on that boy. And separated from its parents in his home life for years and years and years. Amen. And after he got into his teen years, he staggered one night, amen, into the Fulton Street prayer meeting. Amen. That had been a whole lot of us Pentecostal parents, we'd have missed this night. He stumbled into a Fulton Street prayer meeting and approached the pulpit and asked the preacher for the good saints of God to pray for him that he could find his parents. And he had been lost, amen, since just a small child. Amen. He didn't know his name. He didn't know where he lived, who he was, or where he come from. And he asked that preacher to have that little small prayer meeting band, amen, pray for him that he would find his parents. And sitting, amen, just three or four seats from the front, amen, a gray-headed mother stood up and walked to the front and turned the young man around and embraced her son. Amen. That had been lost and gone, and she knew not where to search for her son. Tell me God had nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. Could I tell you, God moves by his hand in our lives, amen, when we don't realize it nor see it. But it's God that's moving. Amen. There's some folks here tonight that you just thought you decided to come to this church service. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, it wasn't a happenstance. Amen. You're here because God wants to deal with your life. You're here because the Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart.
amen, and plucked a tune of amazing grace upon the strings of your soul. You're here because God wants to deal with you in a deeper experience.
This is a different kind of service tonight, but I feel God right now just as strong as I felt Him last night. Some of you preachers are wondering why God brought you the way you have. Amen. Why are certain situations and circumstances turned out the way they have? Amen. Why am I where I am? This is the way. A door shuts here. A door shuts there. A door shuts yonder. Amen. Look around. The finger of God is pointing. I'm feeling something. Boy, 15 years old, had an older brother who was in the Navy. Amen. His older brother would come home, amen, with adventure stories of the high seas. Amen. And you know how young people are. Amen. Their ears are attentive to adventure. And he'd come home with stories about the Navy and the adventures of the high seas. And his buddies would come home with him. And they'd sit up until at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning telling baby brother, amen, about these adventures. Amen. Matter of fact, the boy was younger than that. Amen. And he waited for the day that he would become old enough to enlist in the service. Amen. And he was going to go down and sign up and join the Navy. Amen. And experience the adventures that his brother and acquaintances had always reminisced and talked about. Amen. The day come, he was 15 years old. He had to be 15 to join the Navy in those days. He was 15 years of age. It was his 15th birthday. Amen. And his brother was home on furlough. And they talked to their mother. Mother, let me go join the service. The 15-year-old begged his mother. His mother was hesitant. Amen. 6 years earlier, she had lost her husband and had died. And she had struggled and sweated and toiled to raise 6 children. Amen. Since the passing of her husband. And this was her baby. Amen. How could she part with her baby boy? To her, amen, he might be 15 years of age, but he was still her baby. And finally, after much persuasion, amen, she consented. He said, I'll allow you to go. He went down, signed up, registered. Amen, put on his pretty, amen, uniform. I mean, he was decked out sharp. And the day came for his departure. At the gangplank, his mother stood, amen, and his baggage was already on board. And there he stood in his uniform, a dazzling young gentleman. I mean, a specimen. Hey, beautiful. Amen, if there is a beautiful boy. Amen. Ah, a handsome young man. Amen, embarking upon the adventures of life. And there he stood and he kissed his mother. Amen. She had braced herself for such an hour. Amen. And she had come through many heartaches and heartbreaks. And there she stood. And all of a sudden, when her baby boy, 15 years of age, amen, kissed her, she uncharacteristically of her, she was very much able always to control her emotions. Amen. She broke out in sobbing. Amen. Hysterically weeping and crying. Amen. They tried to console her. Mother, it'll be all right. I'll take care of baby brother. Amen. But she stood and she shook and she wept and she sobbed and she said, I don't know why, but you cannot get on that ship. You cannot board that ship. I won't let you get on that ship. I don't understand it. Amen. But I will not stand and give my consent to go any further. You cannot go. And that young man finally stood and spoke and said, as much as I wanted a career in the British Navy, if you will, as much as I wanted a career in the British Navy, I will not go. Amen. Over top of my mother's weepings, I'll never have that on my conscience. And he ordered his baggage off board and withdrew his enlistment and went home to mother. His name was George Washington. Tell me God had nothing to do with that. Amen. You tell me God's hand's not on America if you want to. And I know there's a lot of ills in this country and a lot of things that's not right nor proper. Amen. But this is still the greatest nation on earth. Amen. There's still godly men and women in this country. Amen. That are following the finger of God that is pointing them in the direction of the glory world. Amen. Mordecai said to Esther, who can tell but sets the Lord has brought thee to the kingdom for just such a time as this. It's up to you, Esther. You don't have to do it. And you don't have to follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. You can say no if you want to. Amen. But God's brought you here for this very purpose in this very hour. It's your choice. Hallelujah. Could I tell you, friend? Amen. God has his hand on your life. And God has spared you within the last 6 months. Amen. And God's kept his hand upon you from this Esther. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that God preserved you for a reason and a purpose. Amen. If you'll commit your life to God and follow his directing finger, amen, you'll have peace with God. Safest thing in all the world is to trust in the Lord.
Right. That's right.
And leave the running of your life to his will.
Right.
I want to say something that may startle your theology or philosophy. I don't want to upset it too bad. You might not come back. But many times in seeking the will of God, we miss the will of God. I want to explain that statement. For in seeking for the will of God, your mind is frustrated and you're in an upheaval and a turmoil. And you are not in the position for God to speak to you the direction of his will. For if he did, some immediately would rebel because their whole flesh was not yet crucified. And they would flee in the opposite direction as Jonah. When did a missionary feel his call to go to the foreign fields and sacrifice his life for the cause of the gospel? It was in a moment when he was in extreme communion with God, simply seeking a deeper experience and a closer walk with God. And in that moment of complete submission and dedication and consecration, when his will was totally in complete harmony with God, when God could have said to him, stand on your head, and he had stood on his head. Amen. Hello. If God had said to you in that very instant, in that very moment, when you, amen, was in that moment of prayer and dedication and commitment and communion with God, and you had shut everything else out, and you had submitted and committed everything to the Lord, God could have said to you, do anything, and you'd have done it. And it is in that atmosphere that God will reveal his will for your life and point his divine finger of providence. Amen. And shut a door here and shut a door there and shut a door there. Amen. And open this door. Amen. And there, behold, amen, you find that here God has spoke to me. I wanted to go there, but something blocked it. Something hindered it. Amen. I don't understand. I felt so sure, amen, that that's where I should be in life.
But all of a sudden I find that door's closed. And behind me, God has opened a door that I did not even know was there. Amen. The divine finger of God that's pointing direction in your life.
Please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. These brethren are here tonight, and they are where they are, whether they understand it or not. But you can ask any one of them. And they will recognize somehow or another God is working something out in my life. I don't altogether understand it. And I don't altogether see it. Amen. But I'm just following one day at a time. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind. Help me, Lord Jesus, tonight. That this church could have had most any pastor that they had a desired. Bill White sits on the platform. Amen. Pastor of this congregation tonight. Somebody said, I don't understand it. God didn't ask us to understand everything. He just wants us to follow. Somebody say, amen. Amen. I told my church the other day at home. Amen. When I took that church where I'm presently pastoring now. Amen. Little old stucco building in the middle of nowhere. You brethren's been there. Amen. I mean nowhere. Amen. Right out in the boonies. Amen. You go to the end of the world and then jump off and you're there. Amen. Little old stucco building. 12 the first Sunday. Amen. Felt God in it. Felt God in it. Amen. Felt God in it. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Savage, you're crazy. Amen. Why in the world you want to go there? Amen. I'm here because God sent me here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here because I felt that's the direction of the Lord. Amen. Nobody else seen that finger but me. Amen. Nobody else saw anything, amen, good out of that but me. Amen. And all I seen was, I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. But God's blessed. And I give God the credit. What little bit's been done there is His doings. But God had to have an instrument. Somebody said, well, God don't need me. Hogwash on that philosophy. If God's going to get a work done, He's got to have somebody to do it. He's got to have somebody to work through. He's got to have some vessel somewhere that will say, here am I, send me. Amen. Somebody said, well, praise God, the Lord used the rooster and the Lord used the donkey. Amen. You mean to tell me you want, amen, a rooster to get your reward? Amen. And you're dumber than a donkey? Amen. That can't know the hand of God that's moving in your life. Amen. God needs men. God needs women. Amen. That are willing to say, here am I, Lord. Send me wherever you want me to go. What was it in Josephus? In the old country? At every crossroads, there was an emblem of a hand with a finger pointing to the city of refuge and said, this way, this way, this way. Amen. Glory to God. I see it. Amen. Amen. I sense it tonight in the spirit. Amen. That glorious, divine, eternal finger of God is pointing somebody. Amen. This way. This way. Amen. The way of dedication. The way of consecration. The way of commitment. Amen. You'll find what you need.
Amen.
Amen. You don't understand how God's got you where He is. Hold steady. The door is about to open. Amen. Walk in it. I see that finger that's pointing this way. This way. This way. I feel like we just ought to bow our heads for right now. I'm not through, but I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to speak to some precious life and heart in this congregation. Oh, God. God. For the Lord hath brought thee this way that he might reveal his spirit and power unto thee. Thou hast not understood, and you've questioned, but the Lord hath brought thee this way. Yea, do not be frustrated, neither doubt nor fear, for the Lord has sought to work his will in thy life. Seek the face of God this day, and he will direct thee, saith God. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, and this is a different service tonight, the Holy Ghost has chose to come and to hover over this congregation. I sense in the Spirit that there are many that are questioning God, and you don't understand. Would you come to this front and make a real eternal commitment to Christ? Draw near to him. It's your choice to follow the leading of the Spirit. You don't understand some things, and you don't know why. But there's something moving at this altar, trying to direct your life for a purpose and a will. God's finger leading you. Only one life. Soon it will pass. Only what's done. For Christ is going to last. We need this service tonight. The Holy Ghost is doing a special work in some precious lives that needs to be done, and only God is able to do it. Oh!